Well, think about the last time you were truly amazed. Struggling to think of something? I am. So often we don't get amazed by much anymore, do we? It's everything we've seen, we've done it, we've been there. You know, maybe if you go to a national park and you come up into an area and you go, wow, earlier this year I had the privilege of going to Yosemite, the one in California, with my dad. And we drove in, and I was amazed at how beautiful that place was, because the way they've got it set up is you kind of drive, and then you don't see much, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. And you go, man, I've seen pictures, but it has no bearing on the reality when you get there. It's just like, that was just like nothing to it. I want to talk to you this morning about an amazing moment in history, in biblical history, when some old normal folks were included in God's plan, which I think is the point for our message this morning, is God includes people like you and me, which is pretty amazing when you stop to think about it. Let's look at the passage first, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. The first thing I want you to see this morning from this passage is that God astounds, amazes ordinary people with his work. What we find is a story that some would say, oh, that's made up, it's fiction. I don't believe it is, because we have enough historical points that we kind of go, you can confirm this from real life. Because there was a guy named Augustus, Caesar Augustus, who actually ruled the Roman Empire from 27 BC to 14 AD. It's about 41 years if you're counting. And in his time, he did some things that are realities that happened. One of them was he did order a census of everyone in the empire. Now, our country, we do census every 10 years or so. Whenever they finally get it counted up, it's usually a little longer than that before they get it finished, but it gets done. And this census would have impacted not just people over in Rome, but would have impacted people in Judea and Samaria, the areas that we're living in the stories here, the places where Joseph and Mary lived. And it would also remind the people this: we're not in control, because the Romans were saying, this is what we're going to do, and you're going to be a part of it. How else do you explain an 8-month pregnant woman having to travel the distance they traveled? They didn't have a choice. They were told they had to go and do what they were going to do. And I want you to see in this that there's about three circumstances that God caused to happen that brought about this ordinary work and the amazement that they have. The first one is the natural circumstance. I've already kind of mentioned it, the idea of the census. God's work in time did something that was a natural circumstance. See, Mary and Joseph were people like you and me. They lived lives like us. They were going to be nobodies like, well, let's be honest, most of us are forgotten within years, if not months, after we pass. And yet, because of something that went on in the culture at Rome, they were told they had to travel. I believe God brought to the mind of Caesar, let's have a census, and that caused them to have to travel the distance. God used a natural circumstance to place his people where they needed to be to get them to Bethlehem. Well, we also find a prophetic circumstance here. Now, you're going, where's that at? The words that we read here are actually a fulfillment of a prophecy from Micah, the book of Micah. The birth of Jesus is not a coincidence. It's not an accident. It is amazing, but it's part of God's design to bring about salvation. To think that the God of the universe would give you and me a way to be redeemed, to me, is amazing. To think that he loves us enough to provide for us salvation. And he had spoken about it through his prophets hundreds of years before it was ever fulfilled and brought it about. But there's also another circumstance I want you to see. It's a humble circumstance. God's working through humble people. People who are, let's just be honest, nobodies. Mary was a nobody. You go, well, that's not true. She carried the Son of God. Yes, because of that we know her. But had she not been the one whom God chose to carry the baby Jesus, we would have never heard of her. She was a nobody that God was working in a special way through humble persons, with a simple carpenter. And Jesus, had he not been the Son of God, he would have been born in obscurity and nobody would have ever remembered who he was. He's working through plain people. I think what we need to grasp from this is this. God can and does astound and amaze when he chooses people like us to be a part of his kingdom's work. I always am amazed that God chooses to use people like us to accomplish his purposes and his plans. He chooses people like us to be involved in his work. Why? There's nothing special in us. We like to think we're special, but we're just average folks. Let me assure you, God does use us. You say, well, I don't know if you've ever used, he's used you. You may not even realize how you've been a part of it. He took a life of a teenage girl living in an obscure city in the Galilean highlands and gave her the promised Messiah to carry, the Christ, to carry to term so that he could be the one to bring redemption's possibility to us. Praise God for his amazing work and his amazing use of people like us. But he also does in this story another thing. He announces his work to no ordinary people. We shift the scene from Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem and having a child to out in the fields. I remember years ago, I had just graduated high school, and Dad said, we're going to go to Israel. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, that's going to be your graduation present. I thought that was nice. Mother didn't want to go, so he said, I'm going to take you. And we're going to go to Egypt and Israel and a couple places in Europe on the way home. And I remember traveling through the Middle East as a young man, and we got into the Bethlehem area. And you know, tour groups tend to be, how should I say this nicely, more mature folks travel on those. And as we were traveling through the countryside around Bethlehem, a lot of these ladies on the bus, every time they would see sheep, they would go, sheep, 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 and they wanted to stop and take pictures. Now, I thought it was kind of cool the first time. But let me tell you, the fifth time, they didn't look any different than the first sheep. But what he does is goes into those fields and interacts with, through an angel, more ordinary people. Look at the passage. At the same time, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be your sign, a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So as the Bible story progresses, we find an announcement being made to ordinary people. When you stop to think about these guys, these shepherds, you need to understand that they were not considered highborn in the culture. They were some of the lowest of the low in the society. Because they are people that even if they were going to go to the temple to worship, they would have had to gone through a ritual to be cleansed because they were filthy and nasty. Because of the deal with animals that are filthy and nasty. That's why I never understood why the ladies wanted to see the sheep again and again and again. They look nasty to me. Why are we looking at these sheep? I don't get it. But remember, you remember the prophet Samuel when he came to Bethlehem looking for the next king? Do you remember what happened? Who was out in the fields watching the sheep? David was. They forgot he was out there. He was a nobody. These are ordinary people. God can intervene wherever he wants to, in any life he wants to, working in any way he wants to, and he can do it in an extraordinary way of an angel appearing and saying, hey, here's what's coming. Here he doesn't come to kings. He doesn't come to priests. He didn't come to the leaders of the land. He comes to the who? The lowest of the low, the shepherds. But also notice his timing. As I was studying the passage, and obviously I've read this once or twice in my life, like many of you have, okay? But as I was studying this, I got to looking at the idea of the time that's in that passage. And he showed up and appeared to them in that time, that moment. And I'm reminded of the two layers of time that God's word talks about. We go, what do you mean two layers of time? Well, right now it's 11:30 something, 40 something. And you know, there's a time. That's the now. That's the chronometer time, chronos. I can't go back. I can't go forward. I can go forward, but I can't go back. I can't repeat anything. That's the linear existence that we live in. And he's saying the time is here for this child to be born, this promised one to be born. But there's a bigger picture here that I want you to see. It is God's time. And that's a different meaning, a different word. It's the kairos time. It means the time that is not this time, not the linear existence we live in. It's the time that God moves and works in his time, his way, his plan, his purpose, and it's where God operates. And that is the time I believe he's talking about here. God's privilege was to bring the Son of God. And then he says, there's a sign. Any of you ever look for signs? You're trying to figure out, well, should I do this or do that? Should I marry her or should I marry her? You look for a sign, guys? I know women are looking for signs. They're going, does he have a paycheck and a house? You know, is he going to provide? Come on, y'all. No, we do it because we what? We love. Yeah. But what we find here is a sign of confirmation. These men are told, here's how you're going to know this child is being born. You're going to find him in a what? In a box, as the kids sang. That's as good of a translation as any. It's a place that you go, where? In a manger? In a stable? Not in a nice place? Not in a wealthy man's place? Not in a preferred place? No. They're not looking for a grand king. They're looking for what? A baby. In a manger. And then the angels start singing. Wow, can you imagine? That'd blow me away if I was out in the pasture fields with these animals that I'm trying to watch that are nasty and filthy and disgusting. And an angel showed up. An announcement is made. We need to grasp a powerful truth here, and it's this. God is God, and he works in ways we cannot see, that we don't always understand. And yet if it's God working, that's where we want to be. And he uses these ordinary folks. Joseph and Mary were commoners. They were just regular folks like you and me. The shepherds were just what? Regular folks like you and me. Oh, by the way, the innkeeper in town, same thing. Regular folk, just living life. And I want to remind you again, don't think that God cannot use people like you and me in his purpose and plan. He does, and he can. As the song says, he works in ways we cannot see, and he will what? Make a way for me. He works in ways that we just cannot grasp. And sometimes he announces it to the world through an angel, and sometimes he comes in a still, quiet, small voice and says, here it is for you. So God astounds with his work. He announces his work, and then he will authenticate his work for these ordinary people. Look at verse 15. So when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds looked at her and said, did you see that? That's a paraphrase, obviously. But can you imagine if you're in the field and this has just happened and your buddy, fellow shepherd, is there with you and you look at him and go, did we really see that? Was that real? Can you imagine being out there that night? You'd go, wow, what is this? I can't even imagine, but I guarantee you they were amazed at what they had seen. Angel went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with what? Do you notice what the text is? They went with haste. That means they hurried. I think they almost ran. And found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, as had been told them. So with the angels having sent this amazing announcement to these nasty, filthy shepherds, they had a decision to make. Did we just dream that, or was it real? And if it's real, is it true? You know, in a lot of ways, that's the decision all of us are faced with in our relationship with God, isn't it? Is he real? Is he true? Is he speaking to us? Or is he not? And in that moment, notice what they do. They look at each other and say, "Let's go." I wonder if they left somebody to watch the sheep or not. That was a valuable commodity. You don't just run off and leave them. Or did they trust God would take care of their sheep for them? I don't know. We don't know. But they said, it doesn't matter. Notice they didn't stand around and go, "Well, let's discuss this and think about it for a few days, and then maybe we'll go and check that out when we're on some free time." And they didn't look at each other and say, "Well, we really ought to have a prayer meeting and pray about this before we think about going." Notice what they did. They took off. God had spoken to them through an angel, and they said, "We've got to respond. We got to do something." They went in haste, not in waste. And moving quickly, they found Mary and Joseph and a baby, exactly as the angel had said they would find, in a manger at Bethlehem. Now, how many children were there been to choose from on that night? History tells us that that area was not a heavily populated area, maybe 1,000 or so or 2,000 people in the region south of Jerusalem. And how many of them would have had a baby that night? Just a few. All they had to do was find the one, though, right? And so they ran down there. And I think as they got to that area, they were talking to people saying, "Hey, who's had a baby? Is there a new baby in the area?" And then they can't find. They said, we were told there's a baby. We heard from an angel." "You heard from a what?" "You heard from an angel that there's a baby. Yes, we need to see that." And they went and told everybody they saw what had happened, even though they hadn't gotten confirmation yet. And then finally they find the baby and they go, "Yes, it was real." I think the people who saw them come into town that night, that what were they drinking out in the field? I don't know. They were seeing things. No, it's a true story. We don't know who all they told that night, but I can tell you this. They said, "We can't stay silent. God spoke to us. We've got to tell others." Oh, I hope you're seeing that truth there. When God speaks to us, my friends, he wants us to be a part of his kingdom's work, and he will authenticate what he has told us. He will give us confirmation of what he's doing in his time and in his plan. And what began 9 months earlier with an angelic announcement up in the mountains, the highlands of Galilee, has come to fulfillment in the hills around Bethlehem. And what of our shepherds? What did they do? They praise God. What else is there? That's the truth I think we need to grasp from this part of the story, and it's this, is God moves in our lives. You go, "I haven't seen God move." I think sometimes we're waiting for him to move in big ways, and most often he moves in what? Small ways. Small steps. Sometimes it's big like this, isn't it? God speaks out and says, "Here's what I've got for you." And you go, "Oh, there's no way. That can't be real." And yet he'll confirm it. Let me remind you, our God is always at work in this world. And he is always moving and carrying out his purposes. And what he does is he comes alongside us and says, "Hey, I want you to join me in what I'm doing." That's what he said to the shepherds, didn't he? "Here's what's coming up. You want to be a part of it. I want you to be a part of it." But they had to make the decision, didn't they, to be a part of it. And that's the thing I want you to grasp. When we take those steps of faith, God will then say, "Okay, here's the confirmation." We want confirmation before, don't we? We want him to show us before. We want him to say, "Lay out all the details. Here's what's going on." He says, just take the step. You know, the one thing I've picked up this year that God has been really working in my heart about is that every single one of us has a place that we are called to serve. You don't have to do it all in the kingdom. Praise God, right? You just have to do what he's calling you to do. And that's my challenge for you this Christmas season. As we get ready to wrap up a year and start a new year, where is God leading you? Where is his small, still voice in your heart saying, this is the part of the kingdom I want you to be plugged into, the place I want you to serve, the place I want you to minister, the place I want you to make a difference? And you think, oh, can I do that? I hope your answer to that is, no, I can't do it, but God can through me. Mary couldn't have done what she did by herself. The shepherds couldn't have done what they did by themselves. Joseph couldn't have dealt with what he dealt with by himself through this story. But with God leading, he will lead us as ordinary people to do his work, and he will authenticate that in his end. So my challenge to you this morning as we close is this. Have you got a decision you need to make? Something you need to make public, something private you need to come and pray at an altar? You know, we come to this time, we go, okay, well, somebody will move. Well, what if it's you that's supposed to move? Listen with your heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the way you take people like us, ordinary folks, and you choose to invite us into your kingdom's work. You chose Mary. You chose Joseph. You chose shepherds. You chose innkeepers. You chose random people on the street to hear the story. And God, I thank you that you choose us. I pray that you'll guide us as we serve you. We thank you for this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.